So the mother is here now. One of the things, I'm just going to show you this picture here, the circle inside the circle. This is a really big part of what's going on right now. It's part of the Hebrew alphabet, which I started studying about 5 years ago. It's called Samech, and it's the end and the beginning. The end is a circle in the middle, and the beginning is a circle on the outside. They do not meet. They make a space between them, which is called creation. So all relationships happen in the space between. They are not the two people, or the tree and the person, or the dog and the person. They are the space. Relationship is the space in between. And with this endless cycle, which is equanimity, which of course we're coming into the year of the sheep. So this is all about this year. We have so much support to get her done. I'm going to read this out to you. Sleep is 1/60th of death. Death is the ultimate experience. And sleep is 1/60th of it. Dream is 1/60th of prophecy. Fire is 1/60th of hell. And honey is 1/60th of manna.
Fire was what?
1/60th of hell. Fire. So 1/60th, 1/60. Just consider what a small part of life we are accessing right now. What a minute 1/60th, like 60 minutes. We are experiencing about a minute of life, which is actually an hour. The Hopis say this is the hour. It also means O-U-R, our. The individual and the collective are referred to here. So before going into the lodge, I read out a couple of things. I'm going to read them again because they held it all together. The very last thing I wrote in this book in 2011 is, I accept this call manifested through the power of the Christ, and I am thankful for its realization. I ask to be taught divine alchemy and the consuming of past negative records by the violet transmuting flame for the liberation of my soul. Amen. We then invocated the Cosmic Mother, which is, comes from Judy Dion, who's the partner of Tom Kenyon. And I'll put here the Magdalene manuscripts, the Sex Magic of Isis. And in that book, Channeling of Magdalene, Magdalene says there was a time when the initiates would not share the secrets of initiation, or the sage. Even I've had people say lately, people who know don't talk about it, or you're supposed to keep quiet if you're so all-wise, you don't need to talk about it. Well, that's how it was, but it's not anymore. We know from the medicine wheel, share wisdom elder, share wisdom elder. It's also part of the Hebrew, it's called faith, expression, thought, action. So it is time to speak. Black Elk spoke. He wrote his book sometime after he had his vision. But the times are changing. We are being called to share what we're receiving when it's fresh. Oh, great mother, divine feminine, birther of the cosmos, lover unto spirit, creatrix of all matter, and queen of all worlds within worlds and those without, we call you to us in this hour. We are your children, hear our call. We are the daughters and sons of your divine union, the flesh of your passion for life. You who lay with spirit, our father, in the beginning of time and brought us forth from the blessed union of spirit and matter. We are your children, the sons and daughters of your flesh and your heart, and we remember your touch and the fragrance of your essence, and we long for you. Come to our hearts and gift us the remembering. Come to our minds and open our genius. Enlighten us with your presence. Draw back the veils that we might see and hearken the doors to open, that beauty and ecstasy may live in our homes and our hearts more fully. This is our greatest need. We call you through fire and water, through earth and wind, through all that bears your name. We call all your lineages and all your names. Come unto us, come into us, so be it. I also went into the lodge on Ash Wednesday, which is the beginning of Lent, and it's a time to redeem ourselves.
Hello, hello, hello!
Allow, allow, allow. So the dog just went off and followed the deer into the woods. And she'll be back. So the other part, the invocation or reading was, and all these, by the way, these came to me like the day before last. All these words. So about redemption and repenting our sins, as the church calls it. This is the way that we interpreted it, do interpret it, it's the way that we are. You've always been on the track. Everything you've done till this day, you had to do. Everything you said till this day, you had to say. Every decision you made, whether you liked it or not, or whether it gave you a great experience or lesson, you needed to make that decision to get you right here. So the key words in this passage are till this day. Consider what is a day. If a minute we talked about is 1/60th, and the hour is life, what is a day? So one of the teachings that came with this is to till this day, till everything that has come to you up till this day into the ground. And you can practice this every night, just everything that has come, till it back into the earth, till it back into the earth, and you awaken the next day fresh and ready to dream. So a lot of what we're talking about is what obstructs our ability to dream. To dream for ourselves, not as a collective consciousness. So much of the past, as it says, daughter, it's just a dream. That dream has been infiltrated by the collective consciousness, the collective unconscious and subconscious. We're now moving into our power of being able to dream for ourselves. Now, our, again, it's a personal quest, but it cannot function without each other. So again, paradox. Here's the paradox. We're dreaming for ourselves, but ourselves is a collective. Okay, but we've just jumped over this hoop, the sacred hoops. We've moved through one of the sacred hoops, so everything's just going to be a little different, even though it looks the same. The next passage that was read is this. And this is where we are. Success does not belong to you. Your success belongs to all the people who are inspired by the contagiousness of it. So you're starting to maybe see and feel how the shift has happened. And so started the journey in the West at 6 p.m. The vision fast began, which didn't give me much time in the West because I would leave it the next morning already. The other directions, I had 24 hours in each of them. So I considered maybe next time beginning at 6 a.m., but it seemed appropriate to enter the West in its own place, which is the place of the setting sun. So the sun was just going down as we began the fast. And it was a very uncomfortable place. So the first, well, actually, you know, it's funny, I brought this book with me, the journal, because I thought, oh, I should probably write down my dreams. But I didn't sleep a whole lot. So it was all one big dream. Everything was uncomfortable. My butt was uncomfortable. My pillow was uncomfortable. It was just pain everywhere. And the week before, I had gone to Ashley's Yin Yoga, and we just did a really simple shavasana with the bolster under your back, your lower back, like, so you're, well, maybe just the way I had it, but I had all this pain in my lower back that I wasn't even aware was there. And at first, it kind of frightened me, because I've had a lot of lower, like, really chronic lower back pain in the past. And then even in the class there last week or whenever it was, I realized it had to be drained. Pain must be drained. And that's largely what the West taught me. And this has to be done before the seed cracks open. Otherwise, what are you spreading? Pain. So in that that Shavasana kind of pose, I just let the pain be there and let it drain out. And put aside my concerns, oh, but I'm going to be sitting, you know, doing my vision fast next week with a sore back, oh no, never mind. Just kept letting those thoughts fall away. And that came back to me when I was sitting in the West. That teaching was enhanced and completed. So that night was just, there was pain all over my body, and I mostly just lay down. And I slept a little, and I had a dream about a little fuzzy black kitten. And they said, he has a song in his nose. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And I was just cuddling the little black kitten. And I've had the same fuzzy black cat in my life twice. First a kitten, and then she disappeared, and her mother came to me after that. And she's still up in the kootenays. So this little black kitten, and that was the... kind of like, So anyway, about the hidden pain, open to the pain body to drain it into the earth. So that was one of the major teachings from the West. The second one, it goes through all the directions, and it is to cease anticipation. And that came in very strong. It was like a commandment. Cease anticipation. That's enough already. So what that means is, like what I was saying about the what I was feeling in the Shavasana, the anticipation, which again is a paradox, because you're anticipating something happening in the future, but you're pulling it from the past. That might happen again. That might happen again. Or this is how it's supposed to be. Sex, for instance, which is a large part of all these teachings. Procreation and sex, and we'll get to that in a minute. How is it supposed to be? How is a relationship supposed to be? So we're going to come back to this over and again about cease anticipation, but I would write that in large letters. So anticipation drains you of your ability to dream, to be a powerful dreamer. It's like nibbling night mice that eat your energy. And in my book, there's a part on that. Bringing the light, turning on the light so those nibbling night mice scatter. So I said we're going to come back around to that. Another teaching is for the songs, especially for those of us who are carrying the songs. The coyote dance song. And the one, the Hey Najinan, spirit dancing song. We use those... when there's mischievous spirits around, they cannot resist dancing animals. So we bring in the coyotes dancing and the animal spirits dancing when you feel that there are some mischievous spirits around you. So it's a really easy song, the Hey Najina, and the coyote dance too, the Robbie Robertson song. So you can put those in your toolbox for yourself and others if you see it happening around. You just invite those mischievous spirits to dance. And, you know, so many of us are in the dance community, the power of dance. It's way beyond what we think it is. Way beyond everything, you know. Like, dance temple is 1/60th of. But it's important. We cannot do without sleep. We cannot do without that physical movement of dance either. Be it a tribal dance or a dance temple gathering or It is a very big part of life. So one of the things I went in on a more personal, sort of personal level, is because I'm kind of perimenopausal. My periods are in moon time are becoming erratic, and I've entered into a partnership, and I'm not sure how to work with contraception. So that came in, and so I asked about the ancient rites of birth control. Different words came up: birth control, contraception, but they're not the right words. It's called soul navigation. So I asked about the ancient rites of birth control, of redirecting a soul wanting to come in, or directing, whichever it is. And I heard a voice say, "So, you want to be creator?" And he was like, you know, that kind of like nudge, nudge, poke, poke sort of voice. And I guess so. I guess that's what I'm asking. Yes, I want to be creator. And I said, well, all you have to do is be part of creation. Creation, creator, is a part of creation. They're not separate. So here again, we come back to the word anticipation. Anticipation is the opposite of participation, being a part of. So whenever you're anticipating, you are not being a part of creation. When you are a part of creation, you have the creator energy, and you have the ability to create your own reality. And this is now merging with the Kahuna teachings. There are only two purposes of life. One, create your own reality. And the second is be responsible for living in that reality. Okay, so it's this continuum. All these teachings are continuums. They just, it's a weaving like a blanket. One will weave into the other. And when you make a blanket, right, you go across with the thread and you come to this forming pattern, and then you leave it and you go to another forming pattern, and you leave it and you go to another forming pattern, and then you come around the other side, and maybe you don't even recognize it because you're looking at it from the other way, but you're still passing through it again. You're still passing through it again, and it goes on and on and on. So the teachings just keep weaving through each other. It's really beautiful. So I wanted to know more about the kind of nitty-gritty of this soul navigation, and they said you'll have to wait until you sit in the south, which would be 3 days later. So I did. I noticed in the morning, the first two mornings, a little bird, like a grousey kind of sounding, low to the ground bird, would fly by the north of the lodge at about what I believe was 8 o'clock, because I could tell time by the changing of the guards on the fire. And then shortly thereafter, more like 9 o'clock, a raven would call down there in the south. And this was demarcating the governing forces of day and night. So night is governed by the power of magic, and the daytime is governed by the directions, the four directions. And so one gives way to the other by the call of the raven in the morning, whether you hear it or not. So another thing in the west, I noticed that I actually pulled up the fabric so I could get air. I needed more air. Just like that. So when you're in the west and you're draining your pain, I think maybe that might pertain to prana, working with the breath, of course. That makes sense, yeah? So I'm actually wrapping up the west already, because I really didn't spend that much time there, but I think the teachings are very, just very, very clear. There's that's a lot to do. And so that's a maintenance, that's self-care. Is making sure your body is pain-free as best you can, but always checking in and having practices, maybe yoga or whatever it is, that you can access your pain and do not move away from it, move into it. As they say, lean into your pain Ashley's so good at this with the yin yoga, and many of you, the Thai massage, everything. You know, we have so many modalities. And, you know, it might also be cautionary for those of us who work on others not to try and take their pain from them. They need to learn to do it themselves. Possibly some people have so much, they do need like an abscess. They need to go to the doctor and have it drained, like something really overwhelming, so that they then can settle down into it. So just some thoughts there. You know, a lot of us are practitioners, so just something to consider. So on Thursday, I moved into the north. And I realized that I influence / direct all of creation by being a part of creation, being the universe. So we have the universe inside of us. And when we light the chanupa, we are sacrificing ourselves, or we're sacrificing all of the directions taking place. We're changing places with the directions. And the vision fast is sacrificing one for all as well. And in this comes consensus. And you're familiar with consensus in the form of a flock of birds? So you consider that what happens in consensus is that one creature makes a movement and the others all respond to it. And the same with the deer. When they're grazing, at some point they're all going to need water. And one of them puts their head up and looks in this direction, looks to the right. And then another one does. And over time, it could take quite a while. They all start looking up. Some of them might be looking in the other direction. But they eventually, because they just have this intrinsic connection with each other, there comes a point of this consensus movement where if enough of them are facing one way and there's enough of them in terms of the greatest number, I think it actually has to go all the way to all of them, doesn't it? Right? Until every single head is up and a head is turned. In the direction that the most heads are turned, they will go get the water. And it also has to be done in such a time that the young ones won't get too thirsty, and the old ones, that the watering hole is not too far for the old ones. So everything is taken into consideration. And it is the exact moment, right moment, that they start to move towards that particular water hole. And it is done in such a way that each member of the herd is nourished. And their needs are met, and their limitations are addressed. So the old ones, maybe they can't walk so far, or the young ones, or whatever that is, yeah? So we don't have the young buck sticking his head up going, I'm thirsty, I'm heading over to the water hole now. Those days are over. The time of the lone wolf is over. Okay? This is going to take patience on our part as women with our men. But women have been given the gift of nurturing. And it is up to us to nurture our gift of nurturing and support each other in our ability to nurture our men. It's been a hard go for them, too. And it's not a better than. But the mother is the ruler of all worlds, within and without. And this is not contestable. At some point in the South, I got very righteous. I am the all-powerful, the woman. Don't you cross me. That was fun. For a little while. You know, and then it just went. But know that it's in you, like the fire is in the stone. And that is the Father. So nurture the fire in their hearts as well. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. We all have the same fire in our hearts. We are all the Father and we are all the Mother. We are all the grandmothers and we are all the grandfathers. We are we are. Come to that again. Another way to look at influence is as in you are a grain of sand. And you are part of one of those beautiful Tibetan mandalas, which they always at the end dump. And it's where you were once this beautiful mandala of patterns, all your patterns, all your behaviors. You were created in that way until this day. You were that beautiful mandala until this day, full of patterns and behaviors. And then they lifted the board and sand all just went down to the ground in a big pile. And there is no way you can retrieve any one of those particular colors. They're all merged now. To be that pile of colorful sand with no pattern. Be the blanket that is being woven. Be the grain of sand.